Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
The CEO of the Restaurants Association of Ireland has criticised the government for a lack of communication about the new rule requiring pubs and restaurants to keep details of customer food orders. Now, the statutory instrument signed into law by Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly took effect yesterday and requires pubs and restaurants to retain and make available all customer information. Now, you know the story at the moment. You go into a restaurant or a gastropub and you have to give your name and your phone number. Although what I thought was funny was somebody said yesterday on Twitter that every time they go into a restaurant, they give the name Stephen Donnelly and his office number. But however, the regulations state that business owners must be prepared to share this information, if necessary, with Gardaí and the HSE. And the Chief Executive, Adrian Cummins, of the RIA, has said this should have been better communicated to the businesses actually serving the food. Now, I want to know what you think. Do you think this is a nonsensical idea? Or maybe you agree with it? And we'll talk more in a second about the purpose of actually serving the 9 euro meal, because I know we slag it all the time. But there is a purpose to it. I don't believe the purpose is relevant, to be honest, in the big scheme of things. But I want to know what you think. Do you think this is nonsensical to now demand that restaurants and pubs that serve food, or anywhere that serves food, indeed your coffee shop, whatever it happens to be, must keep a record of what you're actually eating? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Paul Moynihan, who's the incoming president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, joins me on the line. Paul, good afternoon to you. Paul, this is the most confusing piece of legislation ever. I see some members of Fianna Fáil are calling it Stasi-like. In other words, well, we know what Stasi means and where that goes back to, and the times that goes back to. But I mean, is this? Have you an understanding of what this legislation is about?
Niall, nobody has an understanding completely of what's going on at the moment. Pubs have been open as restaurants now for a period of weeks, months, and it has been done very successfully. When you walk into a restaurant pub at the moment, you're met at the door, you're seated in a group of less than six. There's tracing of a phone number, as you said, a phone mm-hmm. number, and somebody's name is given. Then you eat your meal. You've got an hour or 105 minutes to have your meal and maybe a glass of wine or coffee or whatever suits you. You're asked to leave. And now, is it that you're going to stand up? Somebody is going to come over to you on the staff and say, now, Paul, what did you have for your dinner? Did you finish your plate? Oh, I'm not sure. Was that equivalent to 9 euros worth of food you've eaten? God knows what it is.
I mean, but you know what? It reminds me of the old days when I used to work in the nightclubs back in the 80s. And you remember the legislation that was in place at the time whereby nightclubs were only in hotels because they operated under restaurant licenses and a hotel license. And they had to serve a supper. And every now and again, the Garda Síochána would come in and go down to the kitchen to check that it was a substantial meal. Now, as far as I remember, chicken curry wasn't considered to be a substantial meal. It had to be like chips and chicken or something like this or whatever. And it kind of reminds me of the stupidity of that law. It was just there for a point of principle. Now, look, we've all slagged off the 9 euro meal thing. And I believe the reason for the 9 euro meal is to stop people from pub crawling. It's for no other purpose than that. So if that's the purpose of the 9 euro meal, I don't see why knowing what they had to eat is going to make a difference, unless it's, of course, to catch people out, to catch, you know, vintners out. I imagine that's the purpose of it, isn't it?
Well, I don't know where the idea came from. I think, smarter people than us have come up with this idea? I'm not sure. But as I've just said, it's been done very successfully so far. I think the vast majority of pubs working as restaurants have done this very successfully. Like, we want to protect ourselves and our staff and our customers. We don't want to put anybody in danger here. So we've got our social distancing set up in our pubs. We've got our sanitizers everywhere. We've got all our staff masked up and our screens where we need to do it. Like, I think everybody is trying their best. Like, we're moving forward, but of course we're forgetting about the issue of, as I say, pubs that don't serve food being kept closed for no goddamn reason other than somebody, I don't know, again, a bright person have come up with this idea. If we can follow the same guidelines as the restaurants and pubs that are there now, keep people distant.
Well, we're the only country in Europe now that has the pubs closed. And look at the figures that we have at the moment. I mean, it's very positive. No, thankfully, nobody is dying at the moment. It hasn't in nearly 2 weeks now. The case numbers are reasonably low. And to be honest with you, when you think about how many tests we're actually doing, we've done a record number of tests in the last 7 days, somewhere over the region of 70 or 80,000 tests now at this stage over the last 7 or 8 days. And you know, to only find, like last night, we had 95 cases or something like that. I think it's incredibly positive. So the idea that we're keeping places closed at this stage just seems quite ludicrous. Now, the Minister for State mentioned that the reason behind this was it was proof for the Gardaí that people did eat a meal. It suggests to me we're starting to treat people like children now.
Yeah, but sure, the proof is in when you walk into a pub restaurant, you'll see what's going on in that premises. Like, and I said there will be a till receipt there to prove that I've sold food for the day. Like, it's draconian to think that again, I have to go to somebody and get, now, what did you have for your dinner? Now, your name is what? And I have to put down what you ate for the day.
Well, Stephen Donnelly is saying that you only have to have the receipt. You know, I suppose you will have a receipt roll in your till that would, you know, have an itemised thing. But the legislation seems to suggest something different completely. And he signed the bloody legislation, so you'd imagine he'd know that.
Exactly, Niall. I would suggest the way I read it, that I think I nearly need to put a name on every food there.
That's right, yeah.
Menu. That's the way I'd look at it. Now, if he meant it to be something else, why didn't he be clear about that at the time?
Like, if that was the case, if it was just the receipt roll, there was no need to bring in legislation because that legislation is already there under the revenue, because you have to keep your receipt rolls through the revenue commissioners anyway.
And it's been suggested, Niall, as well, that this is to help pubs that are not selling food to reopen. And how can that help us reopen if we reopen and we don't sell food? Well, be the receipts kept then, so I don't know.
Unless they're going to start insisting for you to reopen, you'll have to sell pizzas or something. I don't know, just have people munching on something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
But I suppose their argument is that there are pubs out there who are bending the rules by serving, you know, an old pizza, you know, from Aldi or Lidl with a bit of pizza oven in the corner of the shop. And then, of course, we spoke to the Healy Rays the other day and, you know, they have people coming into their pub and what they do is they send someone down to the chipper to get the food because they don't actually have the food in the pub. So they serve some, you know, somebody, they have a little menu and you can have like your fish and chip. And when you order it, somebody in the pub runs up to the chipper and gets it and brings it back down again.
Yeah, but sure, I suppose that Niall proves that there's people desperate out there in rural areas that maybe, as I say, the pub is the hub of an area and people are desperate to try and get open for their neighbours and their friends nearly to get back in.
For the community,
for the community. Yeah, for the community. It's an effort. And if people are seeing a way to open and it's not clear where the rules really are, but like, we'd love to just be able to open. We can, as pubs, why go to this bother of trying to get your tipper to bring food up to us? Let us open all our pubs and do it in a safe way that it's safer. Again, I come back, nobody wants to put anybody in danger here. We want to keep our staff, ourselves, our families have to be safe, and for our customers as well. And if they don't see it being done in a safe way, they'll speak with their feet, they'll walk out.
Why do you think Neffet seem to be picking on Irish pubs or this particular industry? Do you believe that we have a bad relationship with alcohol compared to every other country in Europe? Or do you think that's the reasoning behind it? I mean, why do you think particularly we seem to be very focused? I know it's being used as political football, apart from anything else, but certainly over the last 9 weeks with the wet pubs, or 10 weeks now with the wet pubs closed, why do you think we're focusing so much on it?
Yeah, but if you think, Niall, we'll go back to that fact that pubs are closed as pubs as we speak, and still we're kind of being blamed for the spread of the virus. Like, you know what I mean? So we keep the pubs closed, everything is going to be okay. But like, from the middle of July, when we were hoping to open in the middle of July, it was suggested that the numbers were rising, we couldn't rise. But they rose when the pubs were closed. We weren't open at that time, so how could we be blamed? So now it's still 2 months later, we can't let the pubs open because they're the problem. But the problem isn't the pubs if we're not open. Like, the problem is somewhere else, so deal with the problems. I know they've looked at meat factories and stuff now, but maybe that problem should have been identified a little bit earlier and dealt with before it got to such a stage. And I said, to kind of come back and blame the pubs, house parties has been an issue all the time, and maybe...
But that doesn't seem to be the issue. I mean, look, they've been blaming house parties as well, right? And there was a report out the other day that there was, in the space of 2 months, there was 300 house parties in one area in Cork, where the colleges obviously are, around there, okay? We haven't seen a spike in cases in Cork. So why we're even drawing attention to that is beyond me. Now, I know there has been a few small outbreaks in restaurants or bars or whatever. Now, outbreak, by the way, can mean one person. So there might be one case or whatever it is. But I mean, if we're going to, as Stephen Donnelly and as Simon Harris said, and as Leo Varadkar said before, if we're going to live with the virus, we have to get used to the fact every now and again someone's going to catch it. This virus could be around for 20 years.
Yeah, come back on the fact that all pub restaurant situations where there has been a small outbreak, they've all been dealt with individually. So that's the way I see it going forward. I said, why keep the pubs not doing food? Keep them closed. Mm-hmm. Like I said, deal with an individual case if it happens. And I think I think the tracing we have now, it's top class. We got our apps on the phone. Everything is trying to go in the right direction to try and fight this thing in a kind of an adult way, instead of trying to be draconian and I say maybe a Stalinistic way of looking at it, kind of control people too much. And I think you're dead right. We gotta let people live again. We've gotta let people make their own choices and make their own decisions and say, set it out in a way that people can go with you instead of trying to beat them with a stick a little bit too much. We've got to try and bring the public with us on this, maybe from the government point of view, instead of just bringing out new rules all the time, new legislation and new guidelines. And people are kind of saying, oh, no, not again. They're not bringing out something else to try and stop us.
Well, we've seen that. I mean, ironically enough, I mean, we should be moving forward and not backwards. And most countries in Europe are, well, nearly all of them are actually moving forward. You know, some are actually increasing, say, from 50 to 500 outdoors. You've got Boris Johnson there yesterday, you know, saying to everybody, listen, I want everybody back in their offices again. Let's get this economy moving again. You've got all sorts of different things happening around Europe. But Ireland just seems to be bringing in more restrictions and making it worse. Do you have faith currently in the strategy? And I don't actually believe they have a strategy, to be honest with you. It just seems we wake up every day and make a new rule. But do you have any faith in the strategy of the Irish government at the moment?
Well, from what we've seen so far, it's very mixed and muddled. It's not clear in any way where the strategy is going or where we're going. This kind of a roadmap that they're talking about bringing out, I think it's the 13th.
September 13th.
That's going to be a very important document where we're going to be in the next 6 months without a virus kind of fix, if you might call it. That's going to be very important. And by what we've seen so far, by what government has brought, I guarantee you that'll be muddled as well and it'll be interpreted in completely different ways and nobody will know where we are.
I think we were all going to agree that this new piece of legislation is the most ridiculous piece of legislation I think that's ever been signed in this country, and I'm surprised Stephen Donnelly put a pen to paper to it. But anyway, we're trying desperately to talk to Stephen Donnelly and I'll talk about that later on the show. But in relation to where the pubs are at now, those that are open, the 40% or whatever is the gastro pubs that are open, and I'm sure you've spoken to many owners and members over the course of the last few weeks, how are they doing? I'm assuming they're not back up to 100% business, you know, that they were doing pre-COVID, but how are they doing percentage-wise, business-wise, how are they doing?
Yeah, firstly, they're all delighted to be open. Having the doors open is good for their mental health and for their staff, get their staff. I think there's a big onus on owners to try and get their staff. Some people will have maybe 60 people working for them. So they're very happy to have an awful lot. And in fairness, staff numbers are, even though your turnover will be down, staff numbers are the same because there is an awful lot more emphasis on cleaning and you have to have somebody at the door to kind of meet and greet and see people. So there is an element of cost to this for all restaurants come pubs that are working at the moment. But as for trade, I think with the way the setup of a pub is now, sure, it can't be the same as what it was.
So they're restricted in doing business,
yeah,
of course. Yeah,
with distance and whatever, and without being allowed to have parties now, which is grand. The doors are open. They're very happy to have the doors open. But I'd suggest maybe it's around 50% of where they were. But 50% is better than nothing, you know what I mean? And we'd love, as an industry, to open all our pubs. Like, I'm closed. I'm in a village in West Wicklow. I'm closed. There's nothing around me, like. And I said, the amount of my neighbours say, "Jesus, Paul, when are you going to open the doors? Like, come on."
Whenever I can, yeah.
Yeah, whatever, I'm allowed to do it, you know what I mean? And in fairness, they're looking at me now and saying, "You're not going to open," like, you know what I mean? And it's like it's my fault, but we have to follow what's been happening.
But how long more can they, I mean, if the government come along on the 13th of September and say, listen, in the roadmap, you know, we're probably looking at Christmas for the wet pubs here. You know, let's just say, for argument's sake, Are the vintners going to take that or going to be able to handle that? I mean, these pubs won't last that long. They'll be closed down.
No.
They'll be gone for good.
No, I think everybody realises that. I think even from government, what the rumblings that in the last few days from government, to realise that the mortgage moratorium, I think it's called, is finishing at the end of September. What's going to happen then? Most publicans are going to have a mortgage coming back in. They're going to have a bill. So what's going to happen then? Are all businesses then going to default? And where does the government stand on that? Are they going to allow businesses to have in probably families for a long, long time, for generations, and they're going to go into default? That's ludicrous. Like, we've got to open, and I think, well, please God, that they are seeing that now, that this can't go forever. And as you've suggested many times on your show, we've got to live with this virus now. This isn't, at the start, Neffert kind of said, we're going to wipe this out, we're going to get to zero.
That's a fantasy idea, of course.
And it probably always was. We're an open economy with flights and coming through all the time. We're not in New Zealand where we're out on the edge of an ocean that we can control our borders a lot easier than we can. Mm. But so where we are, we've got to learn to live with it. And
okay,
I hope that the people in power realise that and they act on it. There's no point in talking about this. there's talk this week against it about reopening pubs and trying to get back.
Well, I know Leo Varadkar now seems he's playing a very good game in politics at the moment. He seems to be on your side all of a sudden, and he's talking about opening the pubs again, or they should be opening. And again, he mentioned the fact that we're the only country in Europe, which everybody knows at this stage. So he's playing a good politics game at the moment. I think he's sitting there waiting patiently for something to happen. But look, anyway, thank you very much indeed, Paul Moynihan, the incoming president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. I appreciate you coming on the show today. This legislation is absolutely nonsense. Richie says, not since the days of Stasi and the KGB has there been such invasive intrusions into citizens' lives. These quite frankly weird measures have nothing to do with the pubs or restaurants or public health and everything to do with control. Our people are being socially engineered to surrender our freedoms bit by bit, and I dread what lays as in store ahead in the future. A free society does not fall prey to the tyrant overnight. Rather, she is slowly altered one facet at a time, beginning with the indoctrination of her youth until children look with hatred upon their parents and the world that they've been bequeathed. Very interesting. And I get the point that he's making. I only said this the other night. I was talking about the office earlier, and I was talking to my partner, and I was saying, because I'm 56, and I said, have I just experienced the best 56 years in humankind? Have I just experienced that? I found myself just saying humankind there, by the way. Have I just experienced that? The freedoms that I've had, the freedoms that many people in this world have fought for hundreds of years. Have I just experienced the best life as a human being that we've ever had over the last 56 years? And are those, you know, ahead of me and the generations ahead of me destined for the new normal, where everybody won't be interacting with each other anymore, big social events won't be happening anymore because governments are terrified to let people enjoy themselves just in case people start to feel unwell. And if we look at the figures at the moment around the world, you can see clearly the trend. More people are getting it, less people are dying. Thankfully, that is the way it is. And, you know, out of those 95 people yesterday, remember, almost 70% of those people were under the age of 45 years of age. Under the age, that means that it's probably of no risk to them whatsoever. We really have to start putting things in. We have to be proportional about how we're dealing with this virus. And we're dealing with it really badly. You voted for this government. You need to lobby your TDs, talk to your TDs. They are not dealing with it properly. They have no strategy whatsoever. They cannot have a strategy of a zero COVID-free island. That is not going to happen. We share a land border with the UK. We're part of Europe. We're not like New Zealand. And anyway, it's a mess in New Zealand. You wait and see what happens in New Zealand in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Let me go to Anne. Anne, go ahead. In relation to the pubs, Anne, I mean, is it time to just open the bloody things?
Stop now. I tell you, I was saying to Helena, recently again, I'm from the country, where there's one pub, one school and one church in the village. Now, you have to travel 3 or 4 miles to get to that pub. And you could meet your friends, you know, at the school gate when you're dropping off your children. But every Saturday night, we met in that pub. It might be after something happened in the community hall where there was a musical or a play. But we all got together on a Saturday night. That was our night out. We paid for babysitters and we were around each other. I have no idea what this crowd are at. That's the truth. But there was a man on the ad yesterday and it said, we're great to moan, we're great to complain. Now, Republicans in Kerry are coming out marching one of the days, now I'm not sure when night. And I think every Republican and staff and that should come out like they did with the water charges and say enough is enough.
Okay, well, let me put the government's argument to you that the more we allow people to interact, particularly with a bit of social lubricant like alcohol, the higher the risk to society of spreading a virus. Where do you stand on that?
I don't believe that. I honestly don't. And I think, as you said, if you look at the percentage of people that are getting ill. And my partner's mother, she was 88, she died in April, okay? Mm-hmm. And it was horrendous. She has one daughter, 7 sons, 2 in Canada, couldn't come home. She wasn't allowed to lay her mother out properly. But she was told, no, her mother would go in basically like dressed in a habit, right? Like years ago, I suppose, with the influenza and that, and they just put people into boxes and burnt them. When is it going to stop, Niall?
I know, I spoke at the start of the show. I know, and I was talking to a woman yesterday. She's an 83-year-old woman. She's a lovely woman, right? And she was saying to me that she doesn't want to live anymore. It was kind of, and that's why Professor Ronan Collins said last night on primetime kind of resonated with me so much. And she said she misses going out on a Sunday. She used to go to a dance on a Sunday dance, you know, I don't know what sort of dancing they do. She used to go to bingo. She used to go to the cinema. And she loved her life. She used to then go and play the slots and all sorts of things, right?
And meet people.
And she can't do any of that anymore. And she said, and this is exactly what she said. She said, I'm quite happy to go out. She said, if I got a virus and I died, I don't mind. I just want to live my life. Now, can I reassure most people over the age of 70, right, that even if you did get COVID-19, statistically, you're unlikely to die. Now,
and I believe,
obviously you were at more at risk than somebody that's 45 years of age.
No, I believe they lied about numbers as well, Mike. You know what I mean? I mean, my partner's mother had loads of underlying problems. She had been in hospital in and out for, God, she must have gone in 30 times.
Well, we do have a responsibility to guide people, particularly those who are vulnerable, particularly those with underlying conditions, and protect people. We didn't do that at the start, by the way. You know, we neglected people in that age category.
And I worked in nursing homes for 8 years as a carer, so I do understand that. And it's vital. My mother is 78. And again, she lives in the country. From the time in March, and we used to laugh at her, and she'd say, I'm cocooning. And we'd say, Jesus, how long can you cocoon? But
I mean, look, if somebody wants to isolate and wants to cocoon, and they're happy doing that, and they feel they're safer doing that, listening to, obviously, the government advice, absolutely, fire away and do that. And I believe the government should assist people and protect those vulnerable groups to do that if that's what they need to do, and help them and support them in any way. But the whole idea now that we're essentially locking up and destroying an economy and locking up predominantly healthy society seems to be quite a bizarre idea. And I think most of the logical professors that I've listened to around the world firmly believe that locking down society and disrupting society like this is not the way forward, because this will do more damage to people and more damage to society. But look, everybody's entitled to an opinion. The number is 087-188-0008. I'd like to hear your opinion. Maybe you believe it's a good idea to keep the pubs closed. Do you know what's becoming more and more disturbing about this whole thing? That here we are, almost two weeks into it now, the fact that nobody has died, thankfully. Going back a week and a half ago, Stephen Donnelly said that we've noticed a trend that when cases go up, it's followed very quickly about 2 weeks later by deaths. The trend, according to them, in Kildare, case numbers shot up nearly 4 weeks ago. It's nearly 4 weeks ago now. Remember when the lockdown happened in Kildare? Numbers of people dying didn't go up. He was wrong. They're wrong. On a lot of occasions, they have been wrong. They've been right on some occasions, but they've been wrong on many. Their experts back in March predicted 100,000 people would die, one of their experts. Nobody has questioned him on that figure and how he got it so terribly wrong. There was nothing to do with the fact that we locked down that saved 100,000 people. Let's be clear about that. Because in other countries that didn't have lockdowns, they didn't see those kind of figures. Because these were based on models and algorithms that just didn't work. But I think what we need to do now is we need to stop terrifying people. People are terrified. And I watch RTE News on a regular basis, because obviously from my point of view, it's important that I keep up with what's going on. And to see a reporter standing outside the press conference every day giving us the news, it's not news anymore. This is not news. Like yesterday, for example, again, as I mentioned, nobody's died in nearly 2 weeks. There were 95 cases. The majority of those people were people under the age of 45. Now, statistically, those people under 45 are most likely not going to die. It would be very rare that somebody under the age of 45 would die. So rare, actually, out of a population of 5 million, it's probably not going to happen. But I wish them all well. The majority of those cases under 45 are probably asymptomatic. They didn't even know they had it. So essentially, we have an RT reporter at a press conference, usually Philip Nolan, Deputy Ronan, Chief Medical Officer Ronan Glynn, to come on the television at night to tell us that there's a few people feeling a little bit unwell today. When in the history of Ireland, or any country, have we ever done that before? If they're going to do that, why not come on and say 70 other people died in Ireland at the same time? 33 of those died of maybe cancer. 20 of those died of heart attacks and strokes. Maybe another 10 died of lung disease, emphysema, whatever it happened to be. And maybe 3 were killed in accidents. 2 people, by the way, were killed in road traffic accidents in the last 2 days. We're only 3 days into September. You know, we really need to stop doing this. And I'm just looking, there's a headline in the paper here, and I'm sorry I'm going on about it a bit, but I think it's really important that we all understand this. In the Irish Times, doctors call utterly meaningless daily figures to be dropped. To stop reporting this daily. Even doctors are saying it now. Will you stop telling us about people not feeling too well? People not, I mean, every single year between October and February, hundreds of people die in this country. You know, and I don't want to compare COVID to the flu, but from the flu. And we don't go on the telly and tell everybody about it. It's just getting ridiculous now. It's getting silly at this stage. Sinead, you're on Classic Hits. How are you, Sinead?
How are you? Can I just start by saying I completely agree with your opinion. Completely agree. I think there's a massive scaremongering going on. But the only thing about the new law that's brought in, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I totally understand it.
This is the law that they have to require you to...
You have to write down the food,
what you've asked,
because if you're a pub owner and you're sitting at home dealing with anxiety, you don't know what's happening, you can't open in your pubs, and you're sitting watching these pubs flouting the rules every day.
These are the ones serving the pizza.
They're throwing in an empty pizza box and things. Like, we all know that's happening, and it's not fair on the pubs that are closed, because these are real people with real families and real mortgages and real lives that can't cope, and they're watching these pubs throw out an empty box of pizza and pretend that they've eaten, and then the people are staying for the entire night and they're drinking all night. If the waitress is taking your order anyway, the order is written down on a piece of paper. So what's wrong with just using that piece of paper, attaching it to a file, or photocopying it, attaching it to a file? If the guards come in, they look for it, the information is there. It's nothing different to what they're doing.
Pub owners are saying they're adding extra work. And I think it's the point of principle. Even Fianna, a member of Fianna Fáil has said, you know, that this is kind of Stasi-esque, you know, this kind of...
I know, but there's no more work being added, because the waitress has to write down what anyway.
I think, Sinead, we have to accept there are always going to people who bend rules slightly. You know what I mean? And
I know, I just think it's so unfair on the pub owners who can't open. If they're going to do that,
But if we're going to open the wet pub, Sinead, let's say, you know, in 2 weeks' time we announce the wet pubs are going to open. So they're not going to be serving food anyway. It's going to be unfair to even suggest to a gastro pub then that you have to serve a €9 meal.
Yeah, I just think it's unfair. I think open the pubs, give them the chance to adhere by the guidelines, see how it works, trial and error. But keeping them closed for this amount of time.
See what could, yeah, and I get what you're saying. You want a level playing field, and I absolutely get what you're saying. But I think what's concerning for people is, and I know the Council for Civil Liberties were talking about this as well, is that we have to be very careful the power that we give government when they're making legislation. And to make, you know, a piece of legislation and for our Minister for Health to sign it, demanding the pubs, you know, write down everything that people are eating, just seems like something we would have never allowed in the past.
That's what a waitress does every single day anyway. If you want to eat, you have to tell them what you want, and she has to write it down. So it's written down anyway. It's written down anyway.
Yeah.
That's how you order a meal. So if you're not ordering a meal, then that is extra work, but that's because you're flouting the rules. That's why it's not written down.
Okay, generally speaking, I won't disagree necessarily with you, Sinead. I mean, do you have faith in the way the government are dealing with this situation?
No, I think the government are hearing somebody say some statement and they're saying, oh yeah, we'll do that. And there's no thought process put in it. And before they have time to look back at it and realise they made an absolute mess of it, it's already gone through as law, it's already legislation, and then they're dealing with the backlash. To be honest, I don't think any government could have come in now and dealt with this situation, because it's an original situation that nobody has ever dealt with before. But I don't think they're dealing with it the best way they could.
I think the worst, I mean, don't get me wrong, I wasn't a big fan of Simon Harris. I liked Simon Harris as a guy. I think he was very confident, and I think people liked him and they trusted him more so than Stephen Donnelly. There's no doubt about that.
The same
goes with Leo. I think changing government in the middle of all this was the most ridiculous thing we've ever done.
That was really ridiculous. But I don't know whether it was that we trusted them just because we didn't know any different. This was all new and we had to listen to somebody, and they were just there to listen to, And now we know a little bit more about the virus. We have seen the effects of it. We've seen the non-effects of it. And now we're kind of thinking, well, you know what? What you're saying isn't actually right, and it's not true, and we don't.
Do you think it's time that RTE, who of course is the national broadcaster, do you think it's time they stopped having these press conferences on telly, telling us people are feeling a bit unwell?
Yeah. My daughter's teacher has banned talking about COVID and the coronavirus in the classroom, and I think that's correct.
That's a brilliant idea.
I just think the children have enough to be dealing with it every single day on the news. As you said, literally saying, Mary down the road there isn't feeling very well today.
But that's essentially what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. If it's a case that suddenly, you know, 30 and 40 people start dying daily, you know, and something that's very concerning, I think, yes, we should obviously return to that and be telling people how to be cautious, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. It is, at this stage, it's scaremongering. That's all it is.
We definitely don't, scaremongering.
I mean, there's 80 people die every day in this country, and we don't go on and the telly and tell us about it. You know what I mean?
And the percentage of people that survived way outweighs the ones that died. And obviously, one life is too many. But the people that did survive, they're not bringing them percentages out.
And I agree with you. I do agree with you when you say one life is too many. But I did hear a politician recently say about lockdowns, if it's to save one life, it's worth it. And that's a stupid comment. Because in life, unfortunately, there are trade-offs. There are always trade-offs. We can't save everybody. Mortality exists as human beings. We do die at some point in our lives. And we die for many different reasons. Different viruses, bacterias and diseases that we die of as human beings. We can't save everybody. We just can't. Yeah. It's not possible. Unfortunately, immortality doesn't exist. Listen, Sinead, thanks. It's been nice talking to you, all right?
Thank you so much, man.
All right. Loads of people listening, by the way. Loads of people talking about this. And, of course, the story now that's just come in the Irish Times. COVID-19, doctors call for utterly meaningless daily figures to be dropped. Stop telling people every single day how many people are sick. And realistically, most of them are not sick at all. Some might feel mild symptoms because most of them are under the age of 45. And some... you know, might feel nothing at all and didn't even know they had COVID-19. These are meaningless figures. If people start dying in their droves, of course we need to know about it. We need to do something about it. But at the moment, what we're dealing with is a virus that's having very little effect on society. And the main effect it's having on society is the government scaring people to death and businesses closed, people losing their jobs, people in despair, poverty on the way, recessions on the way, and our economy is going to collapse. That's the biggest effect this virus is having. Let's have a listen to some of your WhatsApp messages as well.
Hi, Niall. I can't come on the air, but I just want to thank you for being, as far as I can see, the only person in the media or on the airwaves that's been positive about this, because everything else is just negative, depressing, and you're actually helping people. I think you're helping people's mental health by being so positive about this, and thank you, and fair play to you.
And I absolutely hope that I'm right, and I hope that the future is a bright future for everybody in relation to COVID-19, and I think that we need to get our society back up and running.
Hi, now it's Mark here. This stuff is so ridiculous, what the government are trying to do now. Track everybody's eating movements now in pubs for the next 28 days, or keep it on file. So look at the paperwork that's going to cause and the stupidity of that. So you're telling me that some civil servant's going to go back and see what Dave or John had at the bar, you know, 28 days ago, and how long they sat down there for and all that tracement. No, they're not. It's absolutely ridiculous. They're making this stuff up as they go along. They've no real plan. I've been saying it from day one that society should never be locked down. We should have let this country move on as it's supposed to. People will die. People will live. And that's just the way life goes on. It's absolutely ridiculous. Look what we've done to the economies of the world and what has been done to our economy. And the only benefits of this, I firmly believe, is this is this was set up by the Chinese government to get themselves more powerful than the American economy. That's really it. And we've all fallen foul to it. And it's absolutely ridiculous. I know some people have died, but you know what? People die of flu and pneumonia, and they die of cancer, and they die of everything. But every death is just COVID. It's absolutely ridiculous. And every pub should be opened up. We know for a fact there's plenty of pubs around not actually abiding by the rules and the regulations, as there is restaurants. It seems incredible that, you know, only six people can meet in one household and so many can go into a restaurant. I'm so confused by it all now. But you could have 100 staff in a restaurant, but you can't.
I think his phone was being interrupted by somebody else there. But I get the gist of what you're saying. Okay, you don't agree with lockdowns at all. I think there was probably reasoning at the very, very start, like everybody else, when we didn't know what we were dealing with. I think at the very, very start, I think everybody agreed with any sanctions or steps that were taken. But in hindsight now, when we look back, and thankfully we have all the data now, and we can see that obviously the rate of infection versus mortality, etc., is not what we initially thought it was going to be, which is a good thing, by the way. Although it was quite bizarre to see some TDs yesterday, or Claire TD was, and said that the fatality rate of this virus is 6%. He's probably the only one in the world that actually believes that. Leslie, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Leslie?
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Leslie, do you think the pubs should remain closed to be on the safe side, or should they open up back up again?
I think they should open back up, Niall. Funny enough now, I texted you in about the supper that they used to have in the nightclubs years ago.
I remember it well.
Yeah. Oh, they were the best days ever. But you know something, Niall? I was at a COVID funeral yesterday, and I just wanted to share my experience of it. There was only 50 people allowed into the church. There was all social distancing in place. The priest had organised everything, and it was live as well, online. And then they'd done the same then for the graveyard, and then they'd done this. They had, I'm not going to say where the venue was, but there was only 50 people allowed into the venue. There was a little bit of music there. There was food. Nobody was allowed to get up and dance. And there was only 6 people allowed per table. And it actually
I don't think they'd be dancing at a funeral, would they?
Well, you know, an Irish funeral, you would be.
Fair enough. Yeah, we like to celebrate their passing and celebrate their life, I suppose, yes.
This is it, like, you know. But what I'm saying, Niall, is that if the pubs were to reopen, it'd stop the house parties. Because you go to a pub, there's obviously going to be new guidelines in the pubs, the wet pubs, social distancing, and they're going to close at a certain time. And that's it. End of story. People go home, wash their hands and keep minds themselves. Mm. And you know what I mean?
Can I ask you personally, right? Are you worried about COVID-19?
Well, I was at the beginning, and I've like been looking after myself and my family. And
do you have any underlying conditions?
No.
Can I ask you what age you are? If it's not an imposing question,
Liz. Yeah, I'm 50. I was 50 this year. Had my 50th in my garden with my mum. I had to elbow my mother, and my mother is 75, and she's amazing. And she's
well,
just
at 50
like,
years of age with no underlying conditions, you've probably be very little to worry about. But I mean, but again, obviously everyone has to take their own precautions and assess their own risk. So you've very little to worry about.
I know. And you know the clip that you played off the RT show last night? It really brought the truth home that people are feeling that they've nothing to live for.
I believe that just doesn't apply to just people who are over the age of 70. I believe it applies to everybody. I mean, we all look forward to meeting our friends at the weekend, to inviting people to our houses, to going out to a pub and meeting people, to going on holidays. They're all parts of living as human beings. We don't live just to be biological creatures and walk around on our own and not interact. That's not what we live for. You know, there's more to life than that.
Yeah, and you know, in the last couple of weeks, I'm going to be honest with you, I have went to a restaurant with my family and it was brilliant social distancing. Mm-hmm. And you have to wear your mask going to the toilet. I know some people think, oh, that's a load of whatever. But if that's what it takes for us to be allowed to do it again, bring it on.
Oh, I'm excited. On Sunday night, I'm going to the pictures, by the way. So I'm so excited. Yeah. I haven't been to the pictures in 7 months. I'm like, I swear to God how thankful we are for the small mercies. I'm excited about it.
So. Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? And it's brilliant. It's great. And just if the wet pubs are ever to be opened again, Niall, in my opinion...
Don't say that, ever to be open again. I believe they should be open tomorrow. That should be just it.
Tonight. And, you know, and here's another really important thing that people need to take on board. Okay, so...
Finally, I have 10 seconds. Go on, Leslie.
Okay, so the cut-off number for a supermarket is over the door of the supermarket. When that's full, end of story, no more people are allowed in. They should apply that for a pub, and that will also keep people local. So people won't travel to go to different places because they know, oh, well, there's a fear that we mightn't get into that pub because the locals will have it at the max.
Well, I think that the point being made by everybody at the moment is if you open more pubs, you dilute the problem. In other words, there's more places for people to go, so they won't be all cramming into the same 40% of pubs that are open. Listen, thank you, Leslie. Wonderful points made.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hit.